Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our gospel reading in John chapter 14. So our gospel reading for today, like it was for the last 3 weeks, which were in the season of Easter, it is a flashback. We find ourselves here on Pentecost. Jesus has been crucified, risen. He has ascended into heaven. And now is the giving of the Holy Spirit. But our gospel reading is a flashback to before his crucifixion, to the time when he was gathered together with his disciples in that upper room to celebrate the Passover, at which he also instituted the Lord's Supper. And what was the topic of discussion on that night? Jesus' exodus. Not just his crucifixion, for which he was seeking to prepare them, but also then for his ascension into heaven. These are the things that Jesus was seeking to address and prepare his disciples. And so at the end of chapter 13 of John, Jesus says to his disciples, I'm not going to be with you much longer. I'm going away. And where I'm going, you cannot come. Talking about his ascension, at least not for right now. And of course, this statement then just opens the floodgate of questions from his disciples. And so Peter asks, well, where are you going? And Thomas says, well, how are we going to get there? And Philip says, well, Jesus, just show us the Father. And finally, then, we come to our text, or the verse before our text for today. And Judas, not Iscariot, because you remember he has already departed in order to betray Jesus, but the other Judas then asks this question. Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? Wow, good question. Good question, because we think about that ourselves today. How is it that Jesus can be hidden from the world and yet manifest to us? So that's the subject of our text for today as Jesus seeks to answer that question. So I want to do two things with you today. One is to explore that answer. And the second then is to see how it integrates with the last two mission practices from joining Jesus on his mission. Because remember, this is a sermon series. This is now the third part on that. But we're going to see is that the two really are interrelated and overlap. Of course, as we're going along, we want to remember that it's Pentecost Sunday too, right? We don't forget that. And that's an integral thought in this whole thing as well. So then back to the question, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Well, it's something of a multi-layered question, at least from our perspective as we're asking. Because you got to remember, it was different back then because as Judas was asking the question, Jesus was sitting right there with them. He was physically present with them. And so they're just trying to figure this whole thing out. What does this mean that you're going away? And so Jesus proceeds to answer the question by saying, well, I'm not going to be with you physically anymore. And so I will be hidden. I will be hidden to the world. The world is not going to see me like it does now. And yet, I will be manifest to you, to my people, to the believers. You will see me because I am going to be with you. And the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. So it's just a different way that's going to be after the ascension. So if we go to our text, the first couple verses of our text, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. So just on an aside here, you know, if you're ever wondering, is it important for us to keep Jesus' words, to live in obedience to him? Here's your answer, right? What does Jesus say? If you love me, you will keep my commands, my words. It's a given. This is what the people of God, those who love God, do. They will also live according to his word. The converse is also true. Jesus said, if you don't love me, you're not going to keep my commands. Okay. Pretty simple, isn't it? We're not talking about perfectionism here, though. Let's be careful, because we know that we are sinful human beings, that we do make mistakes, and a lot of them we sin. And it's not talking about us being perfect, but it's talking about desire, confession, and repentance. How do you live in this world? Do you live as one who truly desires to follow Jesus' commands because you love him? And that when you mess up, you recognize that, and you confess your sins, and you work towards repentance, which is that change of life. That's what we're talking about, a life of confession and repentance, depending upon God and his forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Okay, so that's the first part of it. Then it goes on, and really the heart of what we want to talk about here today comes in the middle of this whole section. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And here we go. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Who is the we in the hour? Well, that's the Trinity. I know that this passage just talks about the Father and the Son coming and making our home within you, but we also understand that you don't separate the persons of the Trinity. We understand that when one acts, they all act. What one does, they all do, even though it may talk about one or the other taking the lead in a certain sense, it's all together. So this is not to exclude the Holy Spirit by any means, and there are plenty of passages that talk about the indwelling of the Spirit. But understand what the point of this is, that those who love me, the Father will love them, and we will come and make our home within you. God dwells within you, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That also means then specifically that Jesus dwells within you. And this gets to the answer that Jesus is giving to the question, right? You know, where is the manifestation of God? Well, because God dwells in you, then God will manifest himself through you to this world. You see, it's a different way now. Before, we understood Jesus, or the Son of God, let's say, the Son of God was incarnate in the person of Jesus, and that's where we saw him. But since his ascension to heaven, then he says, now also he is incarnate in his people. He lives within his people. And so this is the way that he is seen in the world. This is the way he's going to make himself manifest to the world. Just a different way. And we need to understand that this is how God is at work through his people. And in all of this, the role of the Holy Spirit is key. And that's why we read this passage on Pentecost Sunday. Because what is it that the Holy Spirit does? Well, we go down to verse 25 now. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's what the Holy Spirit does, right? He teaches. He brings to remembrance all that Jesus has said, that we might know it and believe it and keep his commands. Do it. See, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And none of that stuff happens unless we have the Holy Spirit. Unless we have been gifted with the Holy Spirit so that he may do his work within us. And then specifically, what is it that he teaches us? Well, many things, but a couple of the things that are here present in this text, so they're not the only things, but one is the dwelling of God within us so that he might live through us. And then secondly, as you go down to verse 30 of our text, that Satan doesn't have any power over us. All right? So verse 30, Jesus says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. So he's talking about the crucifixion. You know, here comes the ruler of this world, Satan, and he's going to do battle. But notice what Jesus says. When you see these things happening, namely the crucifixion, know this, he has no claim on me. What does that mean? Well, it means that Jesus in his death on the cross was not caused by Satan. It was not the power of Satan. He has no claim over me, Jesus says. So my crucifixion doesn't have anything to do with his power. He's allowed to do this. Why? Well, Jesus finishes, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Jesus dies on the cross, not because of the power or the influence of Satan, but rather because of his love for the Father and the Father's love for us. Okay. Totally internal to God is the reason for Jesus' crucifixion. These are some of the things that the Holy Spirit teaches us, that we might know and understand God's love for us, his salvation for us, that we in turn might then love him, and as the outcome of our love for him, then keep the commandments. Just as Jesus loved the Father and therefore did the will of the Father, so too we love Jesus and therefore do the will of Jesus in our lives. Okay, this then brings us to the second part of our sermon today. How does that integrate with what we're talking about with joining Jesus on mission? And it really is, these last two mission practices that we're going to talk about today really dovetail so very nicely. So Mark has something to hand out for us today, a little arts and craft project that I did this week. I made this, I got on the computer and, you know, did this Margaret then with the nursery school equipment laminated it for us, but here this is for you and hopefully it will be helpful for you. We've been talking about the five mission practices here. And so you see those at the top. Little icons there to help you remember. Hope you enjoy those as well. But seeking the kingdom, that's the first thing that we want to try to do. Each and every day as we go out, we're keeping our eyes open. We're looking for where is the kingdom of God at work in the lives of people. So we're seeking the kingdom, seek the kingdom. Second, to hear from Jesus as we read his word. You know, let's hear what Jesus is saying to us about our life and our mission. Talking to people. We talk to people. As we see God at work, we pause and we begin to interact with people and talk with them. Those are the first three mission practices that we've already talked about. Today we come to the fourth of those practices, which is do good. All right, so what's the icon there? It's an A. You know, you get an A for doing good. All right. So let's do good. What we're saying here is that as we go through our life and as we interact with people, we can be asking ourselves, what good can I do here? How can I help? How can I be a friend? How can I, in the words of our text for today, be Jesus to somebody, right? Because if God lives within you and Jesus is there living through you, how can I be Jesus in his hands and his feet in this place, in this circumstance? That's really what we're talking about. Is there something good that I can do today for this other person? you know, we're not talking about anything really theological so far, at least sharing with other people. We are being theological in the sense that we are letting Christ live through us. But, you know, we're just being a good person at this point. We're just being a friend. How can we help? Particularly if we're talking with somebody and we find out that they're experiencing some difficulty. So we just ask ourselves, how can I help in this particular circumstance? That leads us then to the fifth of the mission practices, and that is ministering through prayer. So we want to be also looking for opportunities to pray. And really, you can think about prayer as a subset of doing good, right? Because maybe there is nothing that you can actually physically do for this person at that that particular time. But you can always pray. You can always pray for a person. And that's something that you can do as well. And prayer is important. You know, you think about it this way. Suppose, all right, you're keeping your eyes open. You see something where God may be at work. You begin to talk with that person. You say hello. You begin to learn their name. Let's say in time, you begin to have more significant conversations. And one day they say to you, yeah, you know what? I'm not doing so well today. You know, my dad is having some health problems. Or he's going through something. And they share that with you, just a little thing. You know, what do you do? What do you say? Well, hey, thanks for sharing. Good luck with that. And you take off the other way? Oh, of course you don't. You want to interact, and you begin to be compassionate. And maybe at that point you can say, you know what? I'll pray for you. Or can I pray for you? Or something along those lines. And you see, you begin to then take it and very gently introduce God into this, invite God into the situation. Of course, you're going to want to follow up, right? You know, a couple days later, a week later, whenever you see the person the next time, you're going to want to ask, you know, oh, hey, I've been praying for you and for your dad. You know, how are things going? And you can continue the dialogue. And there may even come a point when you want to take it just one step further and actually pray for that person in that moment. Can I pray for you? Well, sure. Okay, can we do that right now? And you see, what does this do? It moves it from observation to participation, or observation to experience. Because if you say to the person, I'll pray for you, they're observing. They're watching. Okay, great. You pray. You do that. And they're watching. But if you say, can we do that now? And you pray there with them, it all of a sudden moves them into experiencing and participating in the kingdom of God. Big difference, right? And it can make a huge difference in the life of a person. I understand that's a little bit threatening. And you may not be ready to do that right away. But look for those opportunities. And you know what? You do get over it. You get over that fear pretty quickly because, you know, if the person says no, well, then fine. But if you do have the opportunity to pray, it really then helps that other person because now, again, they are experiencing the kingdom of God in their midst, in their life. So that's the five mission practices there, things that we want to be working on. The mission questions then just correlate with the mission practices, and we'll talk about that at another time. But for today, and hopefully this is helpful for you, stick it in your Bible, in a book, take it with you, whatever. If it's a little bit too big for you, I have skinnier ones without, if you don't like the pictures, you know, they don't do it for you. I have ones without the pictures so you can, there in the back, you can pick up one of those as well. But I just pray then that God would bless you this week as you seek to make a difference in other people's lives, as you seek to go on mission, not for Jesus, but with him. In his name, amen.